The 49th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 49th Gene Key moves from reaction to rebirth, and it's the path of revolution. This Gene Key has taken some penetration to get to the bottom of. I had to contemplate it for a long time to really understand what it was doing inside me. And then after some time, it just immediately became clear. And it's particularly powerful because it's part of the histidine codon, the wonderfully named Ring of the Whirlwind, which connects it chemically to the 55th Gene Key. So it's the coalface, really, of the big mutation that's occurring right now in our solar plexus centre. And it's about ethical cleansing. At least that's my inner joke, and you'll see why. Because this 49th Gene Key is highly emotional, and at the shadow frequency, it's about reaction, and the reaction patterns that govern our relationships, and that keep us fighting, always fighting with each other. And its dilemma is needs. And these needs are different from the habits, for example, of the 38th Gene Key, which are more to do with our habit, our human habit of struggling. Whereas the needs of the 49th Gene Key are deeply physical needs. They're urges that arise constantly from our desire nature. And they're so embedded in us, in most of us, that they literally run our lives and they give us some kind of illusion of consistency. Our need for food at a certain time of day, or the need to put your makeup on, or to have a bath. And if you don't do it, you feel wrong. And we're so often a victim of our needs. So let's have a look at how this works. Let's say one of your needs is to have a coffee every morning. That seems normal enough. Everyone else does it. Surely we're allowed to do that, I hear you say. Well, let's say that one morning you miss your coffee because of some unforeseen circumstance. And you find that for the rest of that day, nothing quite goes right because you didn't get your morning fix. You see, you're trapped by that need. If you weren't trapped, then missing your coffee wouldn't have registered. It wouldn't have set off any kind of mood in you. And that's just a very mundane example, of course. The deepest needs are food and sex and external love. And if we don't get those met, we really react. And this is a subtle tapestry inside us. Because all these hidden needs, they're like secret tripwires crisscrossing our being, going across the solar plexus centre. So every time someone or something triggers one of these needs, we lose our centre, because the solar plexus is our centre. So we're kind of like this minefield of desires, and we're a victim of each one of them. And we don't stand a chance for finding any kind of freedom with all that going on. And this is why the mystics have always said that we have to pull out our desires. You know, when I was younger, I went on a work exchange in Poland, and it was kind of an interfaith thing, and I won my place through writing an essay, and I was the representative of the UK. We were all under 30 years old, from different religions, different backgrounds, from all around the world, so it was really an amazing experience. I was basically there as a mystic, and I was sharing my room with this crazy Buddhist monk from Bangladesh. He's a real character. Sibu, his name was. And one day I came in from working. We were out digging ditches to bring water to a remote village. And I came in the evening and I ran myself a bath. And I really needed that bath. I was hot, I was sweaty, I was muddy from a hard day's labour. And I came around the corner with my towel, and there was Sibu, the monk, sitting happily in my bath. And I was so annoyed with him. I mean, I didn't say anything. I mean, I'm English and he was a monk. But I was annoyed, to say the least. But for him, it was just a bath. He came in, he saw a bath running, he got in it. For me, it was my bath. It didn't take long for me, though, to get the joke. But this is what we do. It's how we react. We set ourselves these tripwires. And then we invite people in to provoke us. Our needs create expectations, and those expectations often lead to disappointment. They usually lead to disappointment. And it's all a sham. It's all an illusion, because all these emotional reactions are actually placed there by us. So the 49th Gene Key is bringing a new awareness into us, and that's digging into these needs. So those who are working with the gene keys or any other spiritual system that's acute will know what I mean. As you clear your solar plexus, as you see into the true nature of your desires, these networks of needs become clearer inside you, and you go through a kind of ethical cleansing in which the needs which are pure, I'll explain about them in the gift, are sorted from the needs which are impure and inessential and detrimental to our health and well-being. So it doesn't mean that you can't have that coffee every morning, but it does mean that you probably won't need it every morning anymore. And that's a huge difference, as you'll see, because our needs are not really the problem. That's the dilemma. The problem is our emotional reactions when our needs are unexpectedly unfulfilled. So freedom, which is moving through this gene key because of the 55th gene key, freedom is not to be a victim of our needs, but to accept them and our relationship to them in every moment. It's only when we don't accept our relationship to our needs in any given moment that we find ourselves trapped. So this shadow, it really demands that you look deeply into your daily needs. Your need to eat, your need for sex, your need for attention, your need for things to be going in a certain direction, in a certain way. Your need for certainty, that's a deep need that we feel. But it's one we must eventually yield to, because uncertainty is magic when we embrace it, but hell when we don't. So I want to invite you to examine the world of your needs. And whenever you find yourself emotionally reacting, whenever you feel emotional discomfort of any kind, look immediately at the source need behind it. And when you see it, your awareness will pull it out from the base like a weed. And though the need may remain, your reaction will come to an end. And that's our work. Alone, in relationships, in community, be vigilant. Hunt for your reaction patterns. And as soon as you see them, cut them off, dig out the roots, and you'll gradually find yourself tasting a new kind of life, and a revolution will come to your being. The 49th gift, revolution. So we have all these needs inside us. Some come from below, some come from above. And the 49th gift, it's a sorter, it's a sifter, it filters our needs. And the new awareness coming through this gift is magical. It sees a need arising from the body, it watches the body address the need or not, and then it remains non-judgmental. It just waits and it watches the awareness. Was the need essential? If the body needs food, it's essential, well, fairly. But often the body doesn't need food, and yet we still eat. And the awareness notices this, and it makes us uncomfortable because we realize we've gone against the body and harmed it. So some needs are essential, and some needs are not. And our soul, or our higher self, also has needs. It needs self-love. It needs awareness. It needs inspiration, or wisdom, or beauty. And these are the needs often also that we don't listen to. Especially since they're quieter inside us in the beginning, they're subtler needs. But the 49th gift begins to sort this all out. It puts the essential ones in the in tray and the inessential ones in the out tray. And this is the revolution inside our being. It's a process that's going on in many of us now, and it's making us more and more uncomfortable in the beginning. But that's a good thing. It's a mystical cleansing of the emotional system. It's why many people who begin working with the gene keys lose a lot of weight very quickly. And some others, for example, they fill out just to the right amount. It's about coming into balance because we're throwing out old genetic patterns. It's about pruning back our desire nature because the solar plexus center, it needs a new kind of environment. It needs a cleaner and a more open environment, less cluttered with the old frequencies. And some needs are really deep. They're addictive. And it takes a lot of awareness to drop them. I'm sure you all know exactly what I'm talking about. So this is a revolutionary process. And I have this image of you kind of holding up a voodoo doll of yourself with all these pins stuck in it. And one by one, you're pulling them out. And each time one comes out, your breath sinks a bit deeper into your belly and into your being. And a bit more freedom opens up inside you, a bit more inner space. I really want to give you the experience in this gene key of what exactly is going on inside us as we're awakening right now. It's especially acute in our relationships because you'll see that they've become harder. You know, if you're on this path, they become harder. And I wonder if you've noticed that. But they aren't really harder. We're just more aware of the wound patterns. And the more we let them go, the more subtle ones take their place. And I know it sometimes seems like an endless process, but it requires a really deep sense of forgiveness, of self-forgiveness. And that's the programming partner of the 49th gene key. It's the fourth gene key and the city of forgiveness. And the city of forgiveness is one of the agents of grace. That's the 22nd gene key, and you should read that one if you haven't already. So in your relationships, whenever you do something or you say something that causes someone else hurt, your awareness comes in and it shows you that you've actually just hurt yourself. So give yourself the gift of forgiveness. Let it in. Yes, you were cruel, you were reactive, you were insensitive. But you're human and you can learn from it. And the more aware you become, the more you will have to forgive yourself. So the 49th gene key and the gift, it's a new cutting through awareness and it's ruthless. In the old human design system, it's known as the gate of the butcher, this one. And that's what it's like. It becomes more and more accurate with its cuts. And it's a really, really good thing because it's revolutionizing humanity from the inside out. And it's creating a new inner environment for something extraordinary to occur. And if you have the 49th gift, or you're contemplating it, its gift is to show others what they don't need and help them to see what they do need. It's a gift that can be turned outwards as well. It's a gift that can turn a person's life around or make an ailing business suddenly successful. As you give yourself over then to this mutation, you'll become much leaner. Your body will become strong, even translucent. You'll become immune to society's many tricks. Modern society in the West is so chock full of distractions and marketing, and most of it's utterly inessential. So the 49 is saving us time, it's saving us money, it's making our lives so much simpler and more beautiful. And then we're in a position to really enjoy life, because we aren't a victim of our needs. And that means we can choose to eat that piece of cake if we like. Because it isn't an unconscious need. It's an impulse. It's a conscious choice. We know we don't need it, but we have it anyway. Just because it's the right moment and the right kind of cake. And it's fun to share those things with each other. It's what life is all about. To live well. This is the revolution. To live a pure life and to live it well. And it begins in the individual. And then it passes into our relationships, and then into our family, and then into society. And each time one person begins to awaken, they begin to stand out from the crowd. They become a creative rebel. And their transformation is electric. It's infectious. Some people may recoil, but others want to know how they can get a taste of that dish. And they ask you, and you'll tell them. And then they can get on board with you. This is a magical happening at a magical time in history. And if you're one of the awakening, and you are, then you will not be alone in this. You're a whirlwind, and you'll be used as a force to bring others into the same storm, the storm of our future rebirth. The 49th city. Rebirth. The 49th city is revolutionary. How could it be anything else, moving from reaction to revolution to rebirth? We've all heard many descriptions of the awakened state. The masters will mostly tell us that individual awakening is a process that leaves you utterly reborn. They call it the second birth. It's nothing less than a complete erasing of the genetic imprinting of your birth. It's a reset of your primary purpose, or a reboot of your DNA, kind of back to its factory settings before you were born. And it's a transcendence of the actual genetic imprinting itself. And this wonderful last paradox has always delighted me, that human DNA is actually designed to be self-transcendent. It's the means by which God comes to know itself, so it cannot be fixed. It must mutate. And the ring of the whirlwind, with the 55th gene key and the 49th gene key, and its related amino acid histidine, this is the place where the mutation first begins. This is where humanity is changing from. And mutation requires great heat. And the greater the heat, the faster and the more dramatic the mutation. And you can see this literally and also metaphorically. The metaphorical heat is the voltage of unconditional love that purifies the structure of DNA so that it must adapt to the new frequencies. So it's going to become a triple helix rather than a double. Since I'm not a geneticist, I have no idea how this will work. But it must become a triple, because all life is a trinity at its root. But DNA will use elements of itself already in existence rather than invent something new. It will rebuild itself like the phoenix from the brightening ashes of the old structure. And literally, DNA needs heat. The whole planet needs heat in order for this mutation to take hold across the entire gene pool of humanity and across multiple species. So as humanity sits at the crest of the visible hierarchies on our planet, so our great change is going to ripple out to affect changes in all other life forms, because we're so bound together. We're in no way separate, but we're intimately linked and fused together, all these species, as a single consciousness. So we can expect some dramatic changes coming, most probably originating in the sun, because the sun is essentially our father, and we're also intimately linked to its higher life. So when the sun mutates, so does the earth and all her children. And very little has been spoken by the masters about collective awakening. What is collective awakening, and what do we mean by that? And how will humanity be reborn? This is the question that involves the 49th city. Because the 55th city is about individual awakening, but the 49th is about the collective awakening. This version that arises as a chain reaction that comes out of the individual awakening. Well, this is my take. In a relatively short span of time, we, humanity, we, Gaia, we're going to look and feel utterly, utterly different. Like the dragonfly or the butterfly, we're going to go through a series of molts, mutations, that culminate in a complete rebirth. And what comes after has very little in common with what went before. Look at the difference between the butterfly and the caterpillar. And we'll exist in a higher element, with a different DNA structure, with a collective awareness that's going to spread like wildfire through our organism. This is the mythical sixth race, the Trivian human, as I call it in the 55th gene key. And Trivian here refers to the integration of the holographic truth of the Trinity throughout creation. The three paths lead into one. That's what Trivian means, Trivian. So this next age is going to be about the embodiment of that. It's a process of coming into synarchy. It begins at the core, and then it spreads like a kind of divine cancer. And there will be cells that resist it, that reject it, that fight it to their last breath, but they cannot prevent the whirlwind. Those that cannot mutate will be hurled out of the whirlwind for another evolution at another time. Old genetic material is leaving this sphere, even as you listen to or read these words. And when the whirlwind has passed, Gaia, will be reborn anew. And that which wasn't prepared to change is going to be absorbed back into the sun to continue its evolution from a new kind of beginning. This is divine justice. It's the great compassion of life that at the end of a round like this, everyone begins again with a clean slate. It's just those cells that refuse the mutation into the collective that are going to miss out on the party. And they will also have their day, one day in a future now. It's not personal. It's just about universal principles. The 49th city sorts the human genetic material into fertile and currently infertile, into ripe and unripe. It's just as simple as that. So we're going to see people who cling to the old ways, to the old systems. And we'll see those who change so rapidly that the old ones are not able to understand or keep up. It's a fractal detonation throughout the gene pool. And there are those also who exist at the edges of the fractal. I call them the cusp dwellers. The places where they may either fall inwards, safely drawn in by the centripetal force of love at the core, or those who fall away to be carried off by the centrifugal force for another day. And you'll always recognize these people in your life. They will half embrace the change, but they'll not quite be able to change enough themselves. And you'll never know whether they're going to come, well, you will eventually, whether they'll make it or not. You must always keep the door open for these kind of people, because you can't tell what's going to happen. They may just make it through before the door shuts. And part of the compassion of the core fractal of awakening, of this awakening, is to hold the door open until the last moment, because you never know what miracles may occur inside people. And if it becomes apparent that they're not coming into the collective, then you needn't feel sad. Their time will be coming at another time, and you can bow to them in respect as they leave. You know, sometimes I hear people getting nervous around this kind of talk. And you hear people say, well, you know, I'm not a group person. I have heard that so many times. I am not a group person. Or they say, well, we're not all one, you know, really. You know, because that sounds awful to people. It sounds frightening. But to say such things is just to completely misunderstand. You don't lose your individuality in the union. On the contrary, you become more differentiated than ever. It's only in union that true differentiation can thrive. So the two belong together. But our awareness is the union, not the form. The form remains different, unique, varied, beautiful. But you won't be able to hide. There'll be no personal thoughts, no personal feelings, just the pulse of the collective ever purifying you, ever elevating you, ever saturating you in waves of blissful wonder. It's not like you won't have your own thoughts, but people will be able to read them. And the same with feelings. You can't be a loner anymore. Not after this change. You can't. The new loners are actually going to be the lovers. The sacred couples will become the fundamental unit of the Trivian human. So two people in love, they're never two anymore. They're actually three in one. And the third is the awareness, the love, the intelligence of the love itself. And it paradoxically melds the three into one. No human is an island. No one can be cut off from the whole. And families will be completely new. No nuclear family, not like before. The nuclear family is going to become a fusion laboratory. The family becomes the unit of the collective, but it transcends its genetic ties. So there's no obsession, there's no sibling conflict, there's no repeating wound patterns. There's only the flow of love through the unit and its magnification. And the family of the future will be the whole community, the fellowship. And it will be a welcoming friendliness that pervades all awakening humans. And everywhere you go, you'll find this spirit. If you're working deeply with the Gene Keys, for example, you'll discover this rare fellowship wherever you go and you meet others working with the Gene Keys in their lives. It's a deep love that comes as a deep recognition. It's a cellular recognition between us. It's very special. So, yes, such a time we're going into. Such a time. very few people are really aware of what is coming and how vast it's going to be. Very, very few people. The rebirth at the core of our DNA is going to ripple out into the outer world. And I've spoken about the future of humanity in the 55th Gene Key. You can read about that. The potential changes that will come to our way of life and our way of being. And the future human, the Trivian human, is going to look to us like an awakened genius. And there will be thousands and thousands of us. And such a fellowship is going to change the structures all across the planet, replanting with new systems that are hyper-efficient, that save energy, money, time, and needless suffering. The new human is a recycling centre on every level. We recycle emotion, we recycle suffering, we recycle toxin. And the Earth has a lot of toxin. We've created a huge amount of toxic material, of material that will not naturally biodegrade, and we're going to have to find new ways to return these materials back to their natural states. In this sense, we're going to become reverse alchemists so that we can clean up the mess we've made of Gaia. I know the city is a long one, but I really want to do it justice. It doesn't look as though we can save the world when you look at the direction we're going in now. I know it doesn't look like that. But as Hamlet said, I know not seems. Nothing is going the way it seems. This awakening is coming. It's right around the corner. It's begun. It really took root back in 2012, and it's going to break forth its very first shoots between 2012 and 2027. And after 2027, the Trivian humans were going to begin to spread all across the globe. It's an inner takeover. It's a loving takeover. And you needn't believe me. Time will tell whether my words are true or whether I'm a raving madman. But if you're close to this city, then you will feel that it's coming as well. And you should let your spirit rise up to greet this new future. You've got to let it swell your heart and renew your effort and your devotion to your highest purpose. It is coming. And the Trivian human, it has a new matrix. It goes from 7 centres to 9 centres to 3 centres. That's a mystery. The 9 is the transitionary vehicle. It's really a 3 within a 3. And you can see that in human design, the system that the Gene Keys grew from. But that matrix only serves until awakening occurs, after which it's completely defunct. The new matrix is only 3 centres. Trivian, 3 ways. Fewer centres because higher voltage. Fewer centres because greater efficiency. I'm talking about the birth of the Siddhic human being. It's so fantastic that most people can only assume I'm speaking utter dream speak. But these movies that are out now, moving through the younger generations that they're captivated by, they all depict humans with magical powers, with Siddhis, right? Why do you think that's pouring through these generations right now? And Siddhis are not all special powers, but some are. Most Siddhis are simply aspects of deep compassion and clarity, but they still create huge changes in the environment. If you even go to a place where a great master once lived, you can feel a palpable presence permeating the rocks, the landscape. And if it's there when they're gone, imagine how powerful it is when they're present and in numbers. The atomic structure of this planet is going to begin to change in response. The hidden hierarchies within the Earth, the Daivic realms, who've been long asleep, they're going to reawaken, they're going to revivify the Earth, the elements, the water, the air. You simply can't comprehend the vastness of the change that is coming. And of course, it comes first through our hearts, through love. There's nothing but compassion in this universe. It's the breath of God. It's the fragrance imprinted in every cell by the stars. And if you've felt it even once, you can never forget it. And I hope you can feel its frequency through these words, because there's truth here. There is truth being spoken by this voice. And I offer it to any who are listening or reading. Sometimes you just have to come out and speak the great secret. That's what this 49th city is for. So bless you for listening, and bless all those who can hear the secret and who know it themselves, and bless all those who've not yet heard it, but who will one day know it. And bless all those who will not hear the secret or know it this time round. Their time will come too. So thank you, and thank you, and blessings to you all.